The Doctor's Dilemma by George Bernard Shaw. Act 1. Sir Colenso Ridgeon's Study. On the 15th of June, 1903, in the early forenoon, a medical student, surname Redpenny, Christian name unknown and of no importance, sits at work in the doctor's consulting room. He devils for the doctor by answering his letters, acting as his domestic laboratory assistant, and making himself indispensable generally. In return for unspecified advantages involved by intimate intercourse with a leader of his profession, and amounting to an informal apprenticeship and a temporary affiliation, Redpenny is not proud and will do anything he is asked without reservation of his personal dignity if he is asked in a fellow creaturely way. He is a wide-open-eyed, ready, credulous, friendly, hasty youth, with his hair and clothes in reluctant transition from the untidy boy to the tidy doctor. Redpenny is interrupted by the entrance of an old serving woman who has never known the cares, the preoccupations, the responsibilities, jealousies, and anxieties of personal beauty. She has the complexion of a never-washed gypsy, incurable by any detergent, and she has not a regular beard and mustache, which could at least be trimmed and waxed into a masculine presentableness, but a whole crop of small beards and mustaches, mostly springing from moles all over her face. She carries a duster and toddles about meddlesomely, spying out dust so diligently that whilst she is flicking off one speck, she is already looking elsewhere for another. In conversation, she has the same trick, hardly ever looking at the person she is addressing except when she is excited. She has only one manner, and that is the manner of an old family nurse to a child just after it has learned to walk. She has used her ugliness to secure indulgences unattainable by Cleopatra or Fair Rosamond, and has the further great advantage over them that age increases her qualification instead of impairing it. Being an industrious, agreeable, and popular old soul, she is a walking sermon on the vanity of feminine prettiness. Just as Redpenny has no discovered Christian name, she has no discovered surname, and is known throughout the doctor's quarter between Cavendish Square and the Marylebone Road simply as Emmy. The consulting room has two windows looking on Queen Anne Street. Between the two is a marble-topped console with haunched gilt legs ending in sphinx claws. The huge mirror which surmounts it is mostly disabled from reflection by elaborate painting on its surface of palms, ferns, lilies, tulips, and sunflowers. The adjoining wall contains the fireplace with two armchairs before it. As we happen to face the corner, we see nothing of the other two walls. On the right of the fireplace, or rather on the right of any person facing the fireplace, is the door. On its left is the writing table at which Redpenny sits. It is an untidy table with a microscope, several test tubes, and a spirit lamp standing up through its litter of papers. There is a couch in the middle of the room at right angles to the console and parallel to the fireplace. A chair stands between the couch and the windowed wall. The windows have green Venetian blinds and corded fabric curtains. The house, in fact, was so well furnished in 1850 that it stands unaltered to this day and is still quite presentable. Emmy enters and immediately begins to dust the couch.
There's a lady bothering me to see the doctor.
She can't see the doctor. Look here. What's the use of telling you that the doctor can't take any new patients when the moment a knock comes to the door, in you bounce to ask whether he can see somebody?
Who asked you whether he could see somebody?
You did.
I said there's a lady bothering me to see the doctor. That isn't asking. It's telling.
Well, is the lady bothering you any reason for you to come bothering me when I'm busy?
Have you seen the papers?
No.
Not seen the birthday honors?
What the...
Now, ducky.
What do you suppose I care about the birthday honors? Get out of here with your chattering. Dr. Ridgeon will be down before I have these letters ready. Get out.
Dr. Ridgeon won't never be down anymore, young man.
Emmy detects dust on the console and is down on it immediately.
What?
He's been made a knight. Mind you, don't go Dr. Ridgeoning him in them letters. Sir Colenso Ridgeon is to be his name now.
I'm jolly glad.
I was never so taken aback. I always thought his great discoveries was fudge, let alone the mess of them with his drops of blood and tubes full of Maltese fever and the like. Now he'll have a rare laugh at me.
Serve you right. It was like your cheek to talk to him about science.
Oh, I don't think much of science. And neither will you when you've lived as long with it as I have. What's on my mind is answering the door. Old Sir Patrick Cullen has been here already and left first congratulations. Hadn't the time to come up on his way to the hospital, but was determined to be first. Coming back, he said, all the rest will be here too. The knocker will be going all day. What I'm afraid of is that the doctor'll want a footman like all the rest, now that he's Sir Colenso. Mind, don't you go putting him up to it, Ducky, for he'll never have any comfort with anybody but me to answer the door. I know who to let in and who to keep out. And that reminds me of the poor lady. I think he ought to see her. She's just the kind that puts him in good temper.
I tell you, he can't see anybody. Do go away, Emmy. How can I work with you dusting all over me like this?
Emmy dusts Redpenny's papers.
I'm not hindering you working, if you call writing letters working. There goes the bell.
Emmy is looking out of the window.
A doctor's carriage. That's more congratulations.
Emmy exits as Sir Colenso Ridgeon enters.
Have you finished your two eggs, Sonny?
Yes.
Have you put on your clean vest?
Yes.
That's my Ducky Diamond. Now keep yourself tidy and don't go messing about and dirtying your hands. People are coming to congratulate you.
Emmy goes out. Sir Colenso Ridgeon is a man of 50 who has never shaken off his youth. He has the offhand manner and the little audacities of address which a shy and sensitive man acquires in breaking himself into intercourse with all sorts and conditions of men. His face is a good deal lined. His movements are slower than, for instance, Redpenny's, and his flaxen hair has lost its luster. But in figure and manner, he is more the young man than the titled physician. Even the lines in his face are those of overwork and restless skepticism, perhaps partly of curiosity and appetite, rather than of age. Just at present, the announcement of his knighthood in the morning papers makes him especially self-conscious, and consequently especially offhand with Redpenny.
Have you seen the papers? You'll have to alter the name in the letters if you haven't.
Emmy has just told me. I'm awfully glad I...
Enough, young man, enough. You will soon get accustomed to it.
They ought to have done it years ago.
They would have, only they couldn't stand Emmy opening the door, I dare say.
Emmy enters.
Dr. Shoemaker.